And our next storyteller is Erica. Erica could definitely have been one of the people in Rick's story. So let's hear it.
It's not every day that you find a professional pilot that's willing to fess up to an epic oops or has lived to tell about it. And here I am. It was a beautiful, beautiful February day several years ago. And I had switched my personal airplane's wheels for skis so I could land on snow and ice. I had decided I wanted to go out and land on a little glacier, do a few turns myself, get some ski time in, forget the lift ticket, right? So I tell my husband where I'm going. I'm going to a little glacier called the Snowbird. He's been there before. He knows the deal. There's a little hut next to the glacier. If anything goes wrong, I can go to the hut, warm up, be happy. And he knows where I'm going. So he doesn't really protest a whole lot. So I take off from Anchorage. I'm heading north to Talkeetna, the Talkeetna Mountains. And I'm coming in to land on the Snowbird Glacier, which is a one-way-in, one-way-out kind of landing. And if you're a pilot, you know that if you're committed to landing way far out, it's a little bit like trying to pick your parking lot spot from five rows back and gunning for it. And if you don't hit it right on, you're going to smack into the cars on either side of you. Well, I have a mountain over here and a mountain over here, and I'm coming in to land, and I make a perfect landing. It was great. It was one of those, yeah, I'm a professional. I know how to do this, right? I am a professional. So I land, I make a great landing, get out of my airplane, put my skis on, go up, and I make this spectacular ski run. Beautiful powder. It's one of those days that you just remember forever. Boy, howdy. Well, I decide I need a little practice in this glacier landing stuff because I'm a professional. And I need to practice. So I get back into my airplane. I'm going to take off, and I'm going to check out some other glaciers and see if there's any more prospects out there. Use the daylight that's left. So I take off from the Snowbird, and I'm looking around the Talkeetna Mountains, and I'm not really seeing a lot of good prospects. But I look east, and I'm like, oh, there's the Chugach Mountain Range. Hey, wait a minute. I was there last year. And I remember landing with my company airplane up high at around 9,000 feet. We dropped off some climbers to climb Mount Marcus Baker. I could go back there and practice because I'm a professional, right? So I turn my airplane and start heading east, away from where I told my husband I was going to be. Yeah, mistake number one. So I get to the landing area and I look down and boy, yep, the snow was perfect. As you can imagine, one of those clear February days. And I'm flying around, I'm looking down, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do some practice touch and goes, because I'm a professional, right? So I fly over the landing area, and I land going downhill, and I use my skis to test the snow, because I'm smart. And I put some tracks in so that I have tracks to land in when I'm coming back uphill, because I'm smart, I'm a professional, right? I do this twice because I'm a professional, right? So I come around and I make my two landings going downhill, and I'm feeling pretty good. Beautiful day, beautiful snow. I come back around and I come in for my landing run going uphill, and I land smack dab in the middle of my old ski tracks, which is what you're supposed to do. And the minute I touch down, I realize my mistake. I settled, and I came to a screeching halt as the snow came flying up over my windshield. I was like, uh-oh. I know I'm in trouble. Why? Because I'm a professional. And I shut the engine off, and I get out of the airplane. I'm standing on the ski, and I step off. And I sink up to my chest before I grab hold of my wing strut. Climb back onto the ski. I go. I'm like, uh-oh. And I grab my snowshoes, because I am a professional. I do carry a survival gear kit with me. Put on my snowshoes and realize that, oh boy, I'm stuck. I'm hosed because my husband thinks I'm over there and I'm over here. I got to get my airplane turned around, pointed back downhill, and get back in the air and call it good. lesson learned, right? Okay, so I start packing down the snow around my airplane. Pack, 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 pack. 6 hours later, I'm heaving on the airplane. I'm heaving on. Did I mention it's 20 below zero outside at 9,000 feet? All right, I'm huffing like I'm, yeah. And I'm pack, pack, leave, turn, heave. I get the airplane turned around because, well, I'm a professional, right? I'm feeling pretty darn smart. And I even pack down a runway out on the snow in front of me, my old ski tracks. I'm smart. I'm packing down there. I want to put everything in my favor because I got to get back in the air again before somebody finds out how badly I've screwed up. And I'm tired. I have put the engine cover back on my airplane because I'm a professional. I'm smart. And by the time I get back in my airplane to start my engine, it starts. Yay! I'm feeling pretty smug. And I'm ready to take my takeoff run. I'm a little nervous, but I've made everything right. This is good. No more mistakes. I add full power to the airplane, and I'm heading downhill, and I aim for my little runway, and it isn't going to happen because I didn't make my runway wide enough. Oh! I made it just wide enough for the skis. Well, nobody's that perfect. The second my ski hit the deep snow again, whoop, off into the deep snow I went. And if I were skiing, I'd be really happy. But I was in my airplane, and I wanted to get in the air, and every trick I knew, and I'm a professional, I know a few tricks, didn't work. And I'm going down the glacier, and I'm pretty stubborn. I had the full power in, and I'm just sort of going down the glacier until I start doing this. And I'm like, what's that? Oh, those are crevasses. Oh, pull the power off. Stop. Because there's a ice fall about a half mile down there, and I'm skipping over snow-covered crevasses. I've gone from bad to really bad. And I come to a screeching halt in the snow. And I was like, all right. Well, I turn around and look behind me, and there's what's called an emergency locator transmitter beacon back there. If I turn it on, God shows up. But my... My ego says, no, you're a professional. So I don't turn it on, and I start looking at my shovel and my sleeping bag, realizing if I'm spending the night, I got to save my butt, dig a snow hole, because it's 20 below outside. I got to be able to spend the night. My husband's going to be looking for me over there, not over here. Ugh. Then I realize I've got a cell phone. Let's turn it on. Turn on the cell phone. The sun, the moon, and the tide line up. I get two bars. I call my husband. He doesn't bawl me out, thank God. He tells me to call him back after a few minutes. I call him back, and he has chartered a helicopter. Yay! And he's on the way up. He picks me up in the middle of it's dark. I have to leave my airplane behind. That night, I charter another helicopter to go get my airplane. And it comes in underneath the helicopter the next day. And my husband says, you know, that's the first airplane I've ever seen picked up by a helicopter that you could actually fly it away from where he landed it. I'm like, yeah. The only thing that actually hurt that day was my ego and my pocketbook. Oh, well. Thank you.